Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. That's right. Someone asked me if I could do a more relaxing intro.
Oh, really? Who said
yeah,
that?
I can't remember now, but it stuck with me. I'm Ollie Davis. Welcome to Ollie Davis's Deep Bath. And I'm joined by Luke Owen.
Hello, Swaff Nation.
Holy moly.
And a hello to you.
Oh, everyone probably put the volume down for the start of the show.
And they were putting the volume way up because they were like, I can't hear what Ollie's saying.
Yeah.
The usually really loud, shouty Oliver Davis, whose laptop is not muted. I've had to turn the volume up and then I've got them blowing their earbuds out.
Yeah, nice one. Just add it to the litany of sound issues.
Oh, it's been a fun old week, hasn't it? With our potential sound issues, our actual sound issues. But we are working on them, folks. We're looking to improve them and improve your audio way of life.
Yeah.
We think today should sound better than the last week's worth of episodes.
Mm.
We are hopeful anyway. We've had our sound guy in looking at it. So, fingers crossed. Have you recovered from the Royal Rumble?
Yes. Well, no, actually. I go through periods of being like, this is a normal Tuesday. And then I crash hard and have no energy and want to get in a bath. The warm water hug
yes.
is what I desire.
Oh, a lovely warm water hug. Do you sleep through your alarms this morning as well?
I slept through... Well, when I say alarms, I actually mean a light that slowly simulates the appeal of sunrise over a half-hour period. So I'm not surprised I slept through it. Mm. Usually it wakes me up.
Yeah, but not today.
Not today.
Not today. I mean, you look like you want to just dive right into the show.
Well, that's what we said we were going to do. I keep thinking I'm not going to say any more.
You said it was a three-minute intro.
We're still figuring it out.
You've gone for like 90 seconds. I was trying to get another 90 out of you.
Well, but you know, one of the bits of feedback, folks, was that people want to get straight into the episode, not hear about our weekends, listen to the interesting stuff first. I imagine like, if I was a punter, I just want to hear Luke and Ollie talk about Edge, then everything else. But I want to hear about Edge first.
I'm always going to bring up that email we got in that was just like, hey, I love the intros and outros. I actually get bored when you talk about the wrestling.
It will have the normal stuff that's not wrestling focused at the end.
So let's dive into the show because there was a major heel turn on Edge and we're going to dive into that right now. Here is the show.
Genuinely, an all-time great segment to main event Monday's episode of Raw.
Yep, and it was so great. So great. Yesterday on our Royal Rumble review, I think I said, man.
You did.
I'm kind of sad about this because.
Yeah, I wrote that down.
Yeah.
I wrote it down.
Kind of sad about this because
I want to see Edge versus AJ. I want to see Edge versus Seth. I want to see Edge versus Aleister Black. I want to see all these sort of dream matchups. I don't want to see Edge versus Randy Orton, because do you know what this isn't? It's not 2006 anymore, even though we did get Rey Mysterio versus MVP on this episode. And yet, when this finished, I was like, man, I don't think there's a match I'm more excited for at Saudi Arabia than Edge versus Randy Orton.
Don't say that, Luke. It really was, from top to bottom, an amazing piece of wrestling storytelling. It had everything. It had the realism. It had the dramatic moment. It had something genuine anchoring it all, which is the real-life return of Edge, and Randy is pleased to see him back.
Yeah.
And that's what they use to sucker you in, to believe in this reality, and then seamlessly transitioned into wrestling storytelling. It's a wrestling angle, and it elevated all the emotions I would have felt because of it.
And it was so brilliantly done, because it was like, so Edge came down and cut this great promo, then Randy comes down and he cuts a great promo back, and as you say, it feels this genuine, brilliant friendship between us. And he was talking about Rated RKO and like, hey, let's do a Rated RKO reunion and we'll be a tag team again. Crowd are so into this. Instantly his heel turn.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a drawn out thing where the crowd could then see the heel turn coming. This was like, we are friends and babyface. No, I'm a heel.
Yeah.
And it was, it really came. And I would have been shocked had you not spoiled it for me.
I was so excited to talk about it. I pretty much just said, hey, Luke, have you seen the Edge and Randy Orton heel turn thing? And you're like, I am halfway through the show.
I was like, I'm currently watching Liv Morgan and Lana.
Oh,
and you're like,
sorry,
so
I'm sorry.
It's all right. But it was so good. Even knowing that the heel turn was coming, it was executed flawlessly.
Edge-secuted.
There it was. And I thought Randy was amazing in his post-heel turn work. I thought Edge's selling of the RKO, where he was like, he was like moving his fingers to try and feel the rest of his body. They always say, like, if you bang the back of your head, you think you can concussed. You like try and count your fingers to like make sure that you're all your capabilities are still there. You haven't broken anything or damaged anything. And that's what he was doing. He was there like you know, touching his fingers to make sure that he was okay. And the camera focused on it a little bit. I thought the selling by both guys was just exceptional.
He was making these noises as well that I don't really associate with male wrestling selling. He was kind of going, oh, yeah. And it just made me more worried. And honestly, I have not seen a WWE angle connect emotionally like this with the crowd since, I mean, I can't count Roman Reigns and leukemia or Daniel Bryan retiring or Edge retiring, because those are real things.
Totally real.
Because it's not the same thing. This is a wrestling storyline. Having people in the audience with that, like this, shouting, no!
Yeah,
like
I don't want this.
Yeah, I do that at independent wrestling shows because, you know, you get really invested in the characters there. But WWE have done their best to flatten out a lot of that sort of stuff.
I don't know, we were saying that at the end of the Women's Royal Rumble when it looked like Charlotte was going to win. Mm. We were going, no!
Yeah.
No, no!
Yeah, there is that, they got their, yeah, that was totally their desired intent. And that the best, I was thinking, God, this is one of the best angles in years. You know what? What am I talking about? Kevin Owens and Chris Jericho. Festival of Friendship.
Someone has just said that in the comments there. Also, the Mark Henry retirement.
Yes. Okay, so that's how good this was. It's on that level. I can't pick between those three, but those are like the three best segments of Raw of the last 10 years, right? You get like the Batista return, I was thinking, when he attacked Ric Flair.
Give me one of them!
That was only last February, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But that was just cool. You know, that was just like, oh my God, this is so cool. This, I was hook, line, and sinker.
Emotional.
No, Randy.
Yeah.
And why this was so Edge comes out, they built this main event all through the night, being like, here's all the reasons he had to retire.
Yeah.
Which was just highlight clips of him hitting the spear off of the ladder at WrestleMania in 2001.
Yeah, they're kind of like sort of like his career sort of highlight moments, which was, yeah, the spear off the ladder at WrestleMania X7 and winning the tag titles with Christian. Winning the title from Cena for the first time in 2006 and the Royal Rumble win. The only thing that they could have done to have improved that was to have had the Rated RKO tag title win to be like, and here is what another facet of this was this team that was quite beloved at the time. Like, they were, like, I was rooting for them to kick the crap out of DX because I hated them so much. So I think, like, if you'd had that, we really would have set this up further. But you had that in the Rumble. Like, the Rumble set up the Rated RKO stuff.
I wouldn't change a thing about this. Mm-hmm. Just from, you put those clips in there, maybe it's too much. You know, I get the argument for foreshadowing on paper.
Yeah.
But, yeah, but I guess it was a big highlight thing at the time. Anyway.
Yeah, as I said, they did the foreshadowing in the Rumble.
They play these throughout the night, so it'd be curious to see the third hour ratings eventually. Mm-hmm. Typically, the hour that drops is the lowest watched of the three. Potentially, this could be the most watched. I would say it won't, just because people switch off. But Edge comes out, amazing promo. He looks awesome. So old good. Man Logan beard.
I fancy Edge so much. Like, he's just this sexy Viking man.
He does look like he's come out the sea.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Salty.
Yeah, he does.
Like,
yeah.
That's where he's been living for the last 10 years. He's been living underwater.
He's like a cool Aquaman.
Yeah. Aquaman's edgy cousin.
Edgy.
Edgy. Didn't even mean it. And he just cuts a very genuine promo. You deserve it chant. And he just goes, damn right I deserve it. Yeah. And how he structured the whole promo around what if. This question that he kept asking himself, which drove him to get healthy again, get back in a physical shape where he can wrestle. And that involved having a second neck surgery, getting in the best shape of his life.
Going to Pittsburgh, which he denied.
And he sort of teases a few names for the future. I wrote down Orton, obviously, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles.
Matt Riddle.
I know, what a weird one to put in there.
Yeah.
Seeing that Meltzer was saying that it was to teach Riddle a lesson.
Oh, was it really? Is that the
getting
case?
Getting eliminated by Corbin.
Someone messaged me actually today, do you think it's going to affect them in the Broserweights in the Dusty Classic? And I was like, no, NXT is such a different universe, it'll be fine there.
And that's when Randy Orton comes out. And he just goes straight over to him and hugs him before he even says a word. And it was just lovely.
Edge like nearly burst into tears at just him and Randy being the same. Like, Randy looked like he was close to tears. And Randy was like, look, I've got this self-destructive personality, particularly in my younger years. And I would do a lot of bad things, but there was always one guy to be that helping hand that I needed on the road and pull me back out of that hole. And that was you. You talk about these what ifs. What if at a Rated RKO reunion, the crowd erupt into these yes chants. And that's why I say it was so perfectly timed, because they didn't wait for those yes chants to die down. He just hit him with that RKO. And just so made the crowd go, yeah, what?
Yeah.
Oh, it was so great.
And it was from out of nowhere.
Yeah, it really
even though it was very, very obvious.
Yep.
And that was the moment when he said, let's get the team back together. I thought, okay, so that's the story they're going to tell. You know, that's the way my mind was going. We're going to have a month or two of them working together, then Randy. Oh my God, Randy, no!
That's what we were fancy booking it during the Rumble live stream. We're like, you could do Rated RKO versus the OC at the Elimination Chamber. And then you could have built Edge versus AJ at a thingy. But like, someone did pose the question. I was wondering if this is what you were getting to as well. Do you think this has been forwarded because of AJ's injury?
Potentially. I think they could have made either work. Mm-hmm. But that's a very real possibility. AJ Styles apparently looking like he will be good for WrestleMania, but it's going to be close because a separated shoulder ain't no concussion. You can just seemingly come back from sometimes or be out for half a year. So, and Brian Alvarez really went to bat for that self-destructive personality line.
Mm.
Because when Randy says it, it seems just, it's just like a throwaway line.
Yeah.
But when you look at the whole angle in retrospect, you're like, he was setting it up there.
Oh, yeah, he was.
It's really genius.
That's really good.
So what is so good about this? And Edge is fantastic, but it's amazing. In 2020, Edge returned on Sunday night. There's this angle, and I'm the most into Randy Orton. Like, I'm not saying I'm not into Edge, but Randy Orton's performance here was just on another level. He hits the RKO. Then he gets a chair, hits the neck of Edge. It was the back. But everyone still reacted big to it. No problem there. And then Edge is doing the selling of the hand thing. And he puts the chair round Edge's neck in the Pillmanized position. And the crowd are like just yelling, no, don't do it, stop. Randy's getting up to the second rope. But he's second guessing himself.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what an interesting way to take this story. Because even Randy thinks he's going too far here, but this hatred inside him, he's wrestling with his own demons, and he stops. He gets down off the second rope and he walks away. I'm like, oh, this is compelling. But that wasn't what was happening at all. He wasn't having a debate with his good side. He was talking to the demons, the voices in his head, of a way we could make this worse. Mm-hmm. And the way he found it to be worse is get another chair and hit the one-man concerto on Edge, a move that Edge made famous with
it.
Christian back in the day. Just poetically perfect.
But it wasn't just like... You know, it was the concerto was him and Christian's move. But when he went solo, he would do the one-man concerto. Like, that was his big heel move, is to do the one-man concerto. So for Randy to be like, yeah, I could Pillmanize the neck, but oh, wouldn't it be so satisfying to have hit him with a one-man concerto and put this sumbitch back on the shelf? I thought it was... And the acting from Orton. There have been so many people messaging being like, I don't think Randy wanted to do that angle. I think he felt really uncomfortable doing that angle. And I'm like, no, that's just how good Randy is at selling this.
He is so good. And it's easy to forget because he's only good when he's motivated. But re-signing with WWE might be one of the best things he's ever done because he was having a really good... Like, he's been consistently one of the best things in WWE since.
Yeah.
Had that AJ storyline... whatever that was with Drew.
Whatever that was with Ricochet.
But now he's like, this is main event level. This is fantastic.
Really, really great stuff.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So we'll get into your thoughts and super chats very shortly. But first, thanks to our $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon, where they'll be getting...
Royal Rumble 2001. And you're actually going to get it this time because we finished recording it. And once we've finished doing this, I'm going to go and do the edit on the podcast. So it might even be up today.
If not, it'll be up tomorrow morning.
So thank you, tantalising Travis Mankletoe.
Oh, good, lovely stuff. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean, mean prayer.
Whoa, yeah, the Dijon mustard.
Dijon mustard. Butter me up, Soren Nord.
Oh, butter me up. On this day, Jeffrey Edgecombe.
I'm going to do it. You got to do it properly.
Oh, sorry. I didn't even realise. On this day, Edgecombe. Just sounds.
Yeah.
I mean, I come. when Edge comes out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to see him back.
Really glad.
Really glad. The Tank Engine, Thomas Hignett.
Whoa, thank you, Thomas. John Missler. Mr. Jenkinson. I don't know. John Mr. Oh, right, it's Mr. Anderson. John Mr. Jenkinson.
There it is. Whoa. The Perfect Storm, Noah Trombley.
Thank you, Noah. Rebel Without a Crew, Robert Rodriguez.
Nice. Hall of Mania, Patrick Hall.
Yeah. And it's pronounced like methamphetamines, Seth amphetamines.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all. Let's get into your super chats to see what you guys thought. Kevin says, Randy told this story so well, I want to hate him.
Yeah, absolutely perfect.
It is like, I kind of do hate him on a character level. And that's like, I tend to hate WWE rather than the actual characters, which is how it's meant to work.
Yeah.
I don't hate Marvel. I hate Thanos, you know?
Yeah.
We
always said as well that Randy is better when he's a heel. Like, yeah. I do quite like him as a babyface, but when Randy prefers working as a heel, so I think we're going to get some really, really great stuff from him.
We might even get the long-teased Fat Randy. Randy has gone on record and said, I wish I could let myself go because I love eating cake and as a babyface, you kind of have to be in a certain style of shape, at least he does for his sort of appeal. So now we could eat all that cake?
Can eat all that cake, mate.
Justin Vetter. Randy's showing the guys at the back how to be a proper bad guy. So good. Sad that AJ got injured, but I don't mind this Orton Edge feud. Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think it's a case of Randy showing up the rest of the locker room, because there's a lot of guys back there who can do this and would have done it just as well. But it's WWE not letting them have that opportunity.
I think you missed one as well from Jobber JJ. Said Edge segment was awesome with a cherry on top.
Oh, the puns are coming thick and fast. Sabrune 89, brilliant bit of storytelling from both men. A little bit of the storytelling. Dina Cisse, where the hell were the Edge heads? So this is the one bit of criticism that is valid that I've seen for this.
Why didn't anyone come out
to help?
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
And it is. That is a problem.
For a second, I thought you were going to say the one bit of criticism that has been labelled against is like, Zack Ryder did not show up to save him.
There was no Kurt Hawkins in this segment. I can't get invested. No, but, you know, like, sometimes stuff is so good that, that's a significant problem as well.
Yeah.
If the whole locker room are like, oh, I'm so glad Edge is back, yaddy, I'm like, well, where were you for this?
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it so much, I don't mind. I don't mind.
Yeah. Mike Davis said, Edge looks like he took his role in Vikings seriously, and it is awesome.
Sea Viking.
Yeah. Brian Hoyt, said, definitely Vince McMahon. You can tell that promo wasn't scripted. No way. That's why it was great.
I mean, they would have had bullet points, but those two guys are good enough to go out there.
Mm. And Nate Drop Surname said, take a shot every time they showed the Edge pop-up from the Rumble. So glad motivated heel Randy showed up. He's so great. Super excited for Edge's return.
Definitely.
They were really hammering. Like, they wanted you to stick around for hour three to watch Edge's return and that Randy angle.
Myron Speed, we'll just do two more before we get on with the rest of the show. Unscripted Edge said wrestler's riddle cool was him. The wrestler's riddle cool was him. Maybe... Edge said that when he mentioned Riddle in the promo, that was up to him.
Maybe.
Yeah. So that's interesting that Edge sees value in Matt Riddle, where Vince McMahon think it's better to punish him. Mm-hmm. And Joe Libro, do you think they should do the Triple H versus Orton storyline where Orton takes out everyone close to Edge? Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Like Ryder and Hawkins and bring the pump back. I would definitely like to see the pump back.
Yeah.
It's just such a good heel move.
And it works well because of the neck issues for Edge, so I think that'd be quite nice. Particularly like you set that up for WrestleMania and that he's going to finally do it. Edge gets up and hits the spear for the win.
Yeah, but I don't want to see... This is good enough to just have the two guys go at each other. You don't need to add in family and this person.
I am being very serious here when I say this. I'm pretty sure when people say they want Hawkins and Ryder involved with Edge's stuff as a joke, I don't think anyone is seriously saying they're going like, this storyline would be so much better if the Edgeheads were involved.
Dan is one of
them. I know Dan perhaps, but I think anyone else saying like, where were the Edgeheads is being facetious in their comments. First off, shout out to the awesome fan at ringside wearing the classic Support WrestleTalk t-shirt.
I didn't see them.
Did you not? Oh, they were literally like front row. You could see them really clearly behind. There was when Zelina Vega was reacting to Andrade.
I was looking at Zelina Vega.
Guy was standing up wearing his Support WrestleTalk t-shirt too. Shout out to that absolute
Thanks,
hero.
Man.
Video recap of Brock in the Rumble and Drew eliminating him. They completely ignored Ricochet's involvement in the Brock elimination.
Ching.
They were like, Drew came out and eliminated Brock as opposed to Ricochet him in the Ghoulies.
520 likes we're at now. So, again, there should be more, but that has tripled what we had. it's a like party. Let me write that down, like party. Right, yeah, sorry, so carry on.
Yeah. And then we got to the arena for Drew coming out for a promo, but Tom Phillips is back. Tom Phillips is now doing Raw commentary, as Russell Vokes reported. But it's not just Tom. It's the Vince McMahon dream team of Todd Phillips, Jerry the King Lawler, and Byron Bloody Saxton.
Why is Saxton?
Well, do you want better? Who is Byron Saxton?
Yeah. I'm glad to see Byron back. I think he's a good commentator, and he put in some of the best work of his career
during the
Kofi stuff.
Absolutely.
So I'm happy, and there's not someone really in that team who can just neg him the entire time. Although I did enjoy the Corey Byron banter.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
It's just so wickedly Vince McMahon of being like, hey Paul, you can take any commentary team you want. He's like, oh cool, I'll have Vic Joseph and Dio Madden. It's like, well, can we put Jerry in there? He's like, yeah, it's fine, yeah. We'll put Jerry in as a short-term thing. He's like, yeah. Actually, I don't like Dio. Can we have Dio out? Oh, we'll just have it as Vic and Jerry. And he's like, yeah, that's fine. And literally a month later, he's like, actually, I'm going to put Tom in there. I just think Tom will be fine, and we'll put Byron there. And now everyone's happy.
Yeah.
Now everyone got what they wanted from this.
So Drew McIntyre comes out and points at the frankly ridiculously large WrestleMania sign.
It is enormous.
There were some shots that made it look like it was covering anyone behind it.
Well,
like it was the height of the arena.
This is to cover for like poor ticket sales. Yeah. We'll just have half the arena with this sign.
And he points at it like he can't see it. There it is. Yeah, everyone knows. And Drew cuts like a really nice promo Drew is a fantastic promo guy anyway, and he says, someone pinched me, I've been dreaming the last 24 hours, I'm going to WrestleMania because I'm a straight talker, great babyface move, I'm going to say I'm going to challenge right now, Brock Lesnar, yep. I'm coming for you, WrestleMania 36, bam, bam, bam.
It was really, really good. Actually, someone linked me to Drew's final WCPW promo that he cut just after he'd signed.
Yeah.
And in that promo, the last thing he says is, I guarantee I'm going to be the first British World Heavyweight Champion.
Oh, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
I love him. I love him, have done for a long time, in the ring and outside. There's so many nice stories. You do not hear bad Drew McIntyre stories.
And it's incredible to watch these weeks of progression. Like you see at the start of January or like the December 31st episode, for example, when he started doing the 3-2-1 and that got a bit of reaction. And then the following week got a bit more of a reaction. Then the following week,
a bit more of a reaction. And then he wins the Royal Rumble. And when he did it to the OC, this crowd are so into counting along with that move now. And then Drew's music got this huge, like, raucous pop from the crowd. That Rumble win has done just incredible wonders for him. And I think Paul's, like, very slow babyface build of him to this point has been really good. And then you can't just say Paul, Vince as well, have got him to this point. I think they've done a really, really great job with him.
It's confusing why didn't it start in October, when all the brands kind of did their refresh.
Because they didn't have that plan in mind.
Let's take this as good. So McIntyre goes, I feel like a Claymore party.
Yeah.
Remember, like party. Thumbs up, thumbs up. And the OC's Gallows and Anderson come down. Say, we'll fight you.
Yeah.
And Drew accepts them both. It's a handicap match. Sucks for the OC.
Yeah.
Sucks for Gallows and Anderson. But like we've said before, what did you think was going to happen when you re-signed with WWE?
Yeah, sure, you get to hang out with AJ, but you are job guys.
As soon as AJ's injured, this happens the next night. That sucks. And Carl Anderson is such a good wrestler. But it is what it is. Let's focus on the positives.
Yeah.
Drew looked awesome. This was a fantastic squash match. So good. But I didn't even resent him for squashing the OC, two guys I really like.
And it's just, I love how over Drew is currently with this crowd. Because then when Brock attacks him after the match, which I actually didn't think was going to happen. I didn't think we were going to get Brock on this show. Brock just comes out, gives him one F5, holds the belt aloft and leaves. Two great heat because this crowd don't want to see Brock as champion anymore, because I think WWE always do a really good job of making you not want to see him as champion. And I think he's very good at working that heat. And everyone loves Drew and wants to see Drew win the belt. It's really great stuff.
And you can tell the difference in audio because the shot is composed where Drew's in the ring, he's chucked out Gallows, he's chucked out Anderson, and then the crowd go, as opposed to, way, which is what they sometimes do for heel run-ins. It's just like, yay, something's happening. But no, this was, I'm invested in this storyline, this babyface, I don't want to see him get F5'd. So they reacted like, oh no.
Yeah.
So very good stuff.
Great stuff.
Then we got, we won't go through every TLC Edge clip, but there were loads of them. Then Rey Mysterio took on MVP.
Yeah, so they said on commentary that the great thing about the night after the Rumble is all of those legends that you saw in the Rumble stick around for a couple of matches. Mm. And so it feels like they're now trying to make the night after the Rumble a thing as well, where you get to see some of your favorites from the past having, you know, one more match on Raw or SmackDown.
It's a fantastic idea. Bring him in. By all accounts, this is just a very short-term deal, a couple of weeks, like Luke said. And you use this to give newer guys, Aleister Black, Buddy Murphy, wins over big names from the past, mid-card names from the past.
And they did that to perfection here by using Rey Mysterio. I did write in my notes, I feel like I've tuned into SmackDown from 2006.
I like MVP. Always have done. Yeah. I really, really like him. But the crowd didn't react to him at all, really.
Reacted to Ballin.
Yeah, it's hard not to. You could have, they might not have ever seen wrestling, and they'll be watching this match and instinctively go, Ballin, when he does that thing.
Yeah.
That's how good it is.
I thought the crowd were into this more than you're giving them credit for.
This, unfortunately, wasn't a good match. And weirdly, not down to MVP.
No.
I don't know if Rey Mysterio was knocked or something, but he was off. And there was a 619 bit at the end where MVP started to walk back and, you know, sort of botched the whole thing rather than take the move. But again, seeing how Mysterio was, maybe MVP was doing the correct thing in that spot.
Yeah.
And Rey was just like, I need to end this match.
I'm going to, I think you're completely right. But Rey, picked up the win with the 619. I'd be curious, actually. I'm going to throw a little question out to the live chat. I'll keep an eye on this as we're sort of covering
it. Is the question, how much can you press the thumbs up button?
No, my question is slightly different to that one, although you should also do that. My question is, this is great audio content for those podcast listeners, is there a worse finisher than MVP's Playmaker? The move that looks like it has zero impact on anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't say Big Show's alley-oop, which is infinitely worse. But is there a worse finisher than the Playmaker? Just curious. Let me know. Throw out some ideas in the chat.
unfortunately, we're not 69 days away from WrestleMania anymore.
We are 60. Oh, no, we're not
68
anymore.
Today. Yeah. But they ran a graphic 69 days away.
Nice.
I'm calling it WrestleMania.
I've noticed, yeah.
And we're on the voyage to WrestleMania.
Yeah, your dad
not
jokes.
Not the road.
Yeah.
I like it.
Sailing
like
the seven
stuff.
Seas to WrestleMania.
And because it's the voyage to WrestleMania, everything's going to be a bit refreshed.
Everyone's just saying the Bailey to belly.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's unfair.
No, that is definitely worse.
No, I'm going to say the Playmaker's worse.
Aleister Black took on a jobber. No surprise there. Uh-huh. Black Mass in seconds looked cool. Didn't really get over more than any other enhancement match we've seen from Black, but crucially grabbed a mic, sat down cross-legged in the ring and said, all this time I've made a mistake. I've been asking for people to come and knock at my door, to come and challenge me to a fight, but now I'm bringing the fight to you.
Yes, that is exactly what he did. Yeah. Also, shout out to Ash Versus, who's currently in our chat stream, my podcast co-host.
Oh, hi,
Ash. Who has just pointed out that while we are not...
Come help out our audio for us. He's an audio technician.
While we are not currently 69 days away until WrestleMania, we are 69 days away from the Raw after WrestleMania.
There we are.
There we go.
Nice. After that... Yeah, so that's good for Black. It's.
Yeah.
I think that's setting him up to get involved in the Murphy Rollins AOP storyline.
Yeah, I loved as well when Aleister Black comes out to his usual crickets. I like how Byron Saxton called it a silent, uncomfortable calm. Good save, Byron.
Spin it. It'll be a great house salesman. Wouldn't it? It's cozy.
Yeah,
it's tiny. It's cozy. After that, talking of the Seth Buddy stuff, Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy came down to the ring with their Raw Tag Team titles. They had a great line about Drew McIntyre, said, enjoy it while it lasts. These people will turn on you.
Mm-hmm.
Great character stuff from Rollins.
Yeah.
And then he said, I didn't win, but I got to eliminate Kevin Owens. I got to eliminate Samoa Joe. So come on down, guys. Let's have a tag title match right here.
Yeah, Owens and Joe cut promo as well, saying they do talk too much. We just know you're going to have AOP attack us, so we're not going to fall for your plan. Seth's like, no, look, there they are. They're up on the screen. Joe's like, yeah, but this is a TV show that could have been taped earlier. And so Seth makes AOP prove that they are in the back. And he's like, oh, cool. Well, now we know where they are. And the Viking Raiders jump AOP and attack them in the back, which is quite a nice bit of fun. I thought it was good stuff.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And I love how... They, WWE, are fixing one of the complaints about the way they book babyfaces. They're booking this babyface team as intelligent.
Yeah.
They're not always going to get suckered in with these obvious heel tactics. And in fact, they've got a few tricks up their own sleeves.
Yeah.
Really good stuff. And they run down there, they start having a match. And what a match it was.
Really good.
This was the best match of the night for me. And it's made even more impressive by the fact that Samoa Joe knocked himself out early on.
That man has got a WrestleMania curse.
Oh, it's happened, this was, 2 years ago?
Yeah.
When he was meant to get a push? It's awful. Hopefully it's a concussion that clears up very quickly and he's safe to return to the ring sharpish.
Yeah.
But, ow.
Yeah, so Joe, just before the first ad break, did this dive to the outside because Owens was doing a dive on the other side and just landed very, very awkwardly. And when they came back from the commercial break, they showed, Joe landing badly and was like, and he's been taken to the back. So it's now a 2-on-1 handicap match. And I'll be honest, when I was watching this, I thought it was a work. I was like, oh, okay, well, this is just a way to protect Owens and Joe in defeat. I thought they covered for it so well. So until afterwards, I found out that, no, it was legit. Like, he really hurt himself.
Yeah, I honestly thought it's all storyline.
Because the way they structured the match after that felt like it was the plan from the start.
And that is, I am floored by, these guys are all very good workers. Seth Rollins, Buddy Murphy, Kevin Owens. And they've come up through the indie scene where this stuff happens all the time, where you kind of have to make stuff up on the fly because some guy just doesn't turn up to your show.
Yeah.
So it's that sort of hustler wrestler side of things. And they just put on this flawless story on the fly that was really dramatic by the end.
It got, yeah, really,
like,
really
I thought this was an excellent match. Owens is just like, he's... Babyface 2-on-1 disadvantage.
Yep.
He hits the frog splash.
The swanton.
The swanton, for a great near fall on Buddy, miss it, like dodges the Seth Rollins stomp, stunner. I think that just it's a shame that the wrestlers aren't allowed to go out there more often and take their cues for what spots they're going to do based on the reaction of the crowd.
Yeah.
I thought this was incredible.
I thought it was really good. Do you know what my favourite spot of the match was, though? It was right at the start when Seth Rollins does an arm ring around Joe and goes, ha, 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 ha. And then Joe knocks him down and Seth rolls out the ring. And Kevin Owens from the ring goes, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Rollins is, he's changed it up a bit as well. Yeah. He's a bit more chipper now because things are going his way. He's not like, I am the evil messiah. He's, ha, 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 I'm winning it.
So good. Really made me laugh. I also loved as well, King Figueroa. Like, there was a moment when Jerry the King Lawler said, look, it's Joe and Kevin Owens aren't going to make great tag partners. They turned on each other in the Royal Rumble, which they did do. And then Tom Phillips, for whatever reason, was like, well, actually, King, they were eliminated by Seth Rollins before they got a chance to turn on each other. So where'd you get that information from? And Jerry, who was right, went, I thought they fought against each other.
It's like, no.
Oh, no, Jerry, you were right, mate.
Poor guy. But another crucial thing about this, very significant, it was Buddy who got the roll-up victory again.
Yeah.
Buddy is picking up these wins, as fluky as they are and as influenced by Seth as they are, but it's him getting the W's.
Big thumbs up.
Yeah, really good story.
Really loved it.
Caruso alert. Becky, I tried to minimise that for the one guy who doesn't like it. I think his name was Sean.
Yeah.
Not that I've got a list of all the fans who say they get bored of my spots. Becky Lynch is being interviewed. She says she's beaten everyone now. It's all good. And if Flair challenges her, it won't be the first time, but it will be the last.
I'm pretty sure we've said that before, though. I'm pretty sure we actually have said this is the last time these two will have this match.
And that could be a good direction to take this feud. You know, you just say, well, this is the last time ever, and then do it again a year later.
Yeah, yeah.
But the reports are, and more on this if you go to the news episode after this that went up, I think as this show went live, actually. It's still Becky versus Shayna.
Really?
Interesting. I don't know what, and it's not going to be Charlotte versus Bayley.
Yeah, I think, what? I mean, unless they do move Charlotte over to SmackDown.
Or she challenges Ripley.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think they know either.
You're right. I don't think they know. But she did say in her post-Rumble win promo, you know, I'm the queen of all divisions. Mm. So, yeah. I don't think it'd be like the worst idea in the world for her to go and take on Ripley. Granted, yeah. I think that would be putting over NXT, which I mean, I don't think WWE are clearly on board with at the moment. That, you know, Survivor Series has been and gone. But I think that would be a really great shout for her.
And Becky turns around and reveals on the back of her leather jacket is this really cool goat embroidered thing.
I've seen a lot of people turn on Becky now. I saw it in the chat just a second ago when her match at the Rumble, which we really liked, and we were, you know,
a good match.
Me, you, and Datsun were there going, like, man, that was a really good match. The chat was just wall to wall. Becky sucks. Becky's boring. Terrible match. Bored of Becky. I'm afraid that we are starting to see a bit of a turn against her now because she is winning all the time. And so I'm curious to see how that progresses, if that translates into live reactions to her as well.
Next up, we got Andrade versus Humberto Carrillo in a rematch from the pre-show the previous night. And, you know, at the start of this, I was thinking, this is ridiculous. It's just another loss for Andrade. Carrillo. Oh, my God. Oh, sorry, Carrillo. And, you know, they had a good match. I really enjoy these two working together. But here we go again. Carrillo's got it. One moonsault. Vega runs in, breaks it up. So Carrillo wins, but Andrade's still the champion. Whatever. But then, Carrillo goes outside, exposes the concrete floor, and hits the Hammerlock DDT on Andrade.
Yeah.
And the crowd popped huge.
Yeah, they really played it up like that Carrillo snapped. Like, this is a changing character for him.
And it turns out it's because Andrade failed a wellness policy violation. This is to ride him off TV for 30 days.
He failed a handsomeness violation.
Apparently they were talking about taking the title off of him. Vince said it's too early to put the title on Carrillo. So they're just not going to have a United States.
Then why are you pushing him into these matches? And you have been for the last 6 months.
I don't know. That's just what was written. I can't explain stuff. But, you know, out of all of this, the one thing I thought wouldn't happen is Carrillo gets over.
Yeah.
And he has.
Yeah.
So quite an inspired little bit of booking.
Let's see how it plays out next week. But in this one moment, for a brief period, he was over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be the loudest pop for anything Carrillo's done.
Yeah.
And it's a heel move, interestingly.
Yeah.
It's a more badass babyface kind of thing. But yeah, I like that. And it, by all reports, that was changed on the day.
Yes.
So that's that was a good fix.
Yeah, they said that this feud was going to continue. I don't know how you can continue this feud with Carrillo constantly losing.
Oh, they'll find a way.
But yeah, the report was that it was going to be a less brutal beatdown angle. I wonder if they were still going to do the Carrillo sort of snapping thing, but rather than try and write Andrade out for 30 days.
And just before we get on to Charlotte versus Asuka, I've got a theory.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know, since we did all the thumbs up stuff, 400 more people have jumped in the online. So I don't know if the thumbs up is pushing the video more up in YouTube and people are finding us and going, hey, I'll give it a watch. So, hey, now I know there's 2,400 of you and only 800 likes. Press that thumbs up party.
Guys, and just do it so Ollie stops bringing it up.
Put all your put your thumbs in that corner of the screen, Luke. Look, do it now. No, more of it. There you go. There you go.
This is again, do you remember they got that email that said we're doing too much visual stuff in the shows and that's making the podcast terrible?
No. This one hasn't worked. It's no thumbs up are happening. Oh well.
So Charlotte came out for a promo in her gear. And says that she won the Royal Rumble last night, which got a mixed reaction. Right. This led to a match with Asuka. Charlotte said she's still thinking about who she's going to pick. What is Charlotte? Because I thought she was a heel based on the promo that she cut, and then because Byron doesn't like her.
Yeah.
But then she worked babyface in the match. So I just don't know how I'm supposed to be reacting to Charlotte now. Because I find her incredibly unlikable, which makes me think she should be a heel. But then she continues to work as a babyface, which means I don't get invested in her matches. So I've no idea how I'm supposed to react. And I don't think the crowd know how they're supposed to react to her anymore.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. She draws out the announcement and then she says, I'm still thinking about it over who she's going to cash in her Royal Rumble opportunity, which is a heel move. Asuka comes down to a babyface reaction.
Yeah, crowd were massively into Asuka here.
Because it's kind of the post-Rumble crowd, a bit more of a travelling audience, more into the heels traditionally.
But unfortunately, because of the scripted material, she had to say, please stop cheering Charlotte.
And they had, she says, if I was in that match, I would have won. And that sets up a match between the two. And it was a really good match. Went through a couple of ad breaks.
Yeah, really good
stuff.
The only
problem I found with it was the finish was a manager/second interfering for a DQ. And we just had that with Andrade Vega.
Really lame. And then Charlotte just beats them both up afterwards, which made it even more lame.
So Charlotte's got the figure eight on, but they kind of have to both shuffle into the corner so Sane can hit the elbow, by which point Asuka can just grab the ropes.
Yeah.
So I it didn't work again.
Yeah.
Just like the Rumble finish. And Sane hits the insane elbow.
Yeah. I think a lot of people are saying that she's a tweener, but I think this is...
Charlotte?
This is the definition of a terrible tweener.
Yeah, tweeners are meant to be more over in that on the line.
Yeah.
This is just confusing and flattens it out. After this, Kelly was backstage with the Street Profits.
She has no idea who these two are or what their catchphrase is.
Or any conception of aging. No. She's looking younger.
She is only 30. Like, she's 33, I think.
Yeah, but she's still like a decade since she debuted.
Yeah, but she's only 33.
Mojo Rawley brought a really good new dimension to the 24/7 title next.
Yeah. Well, he's also brought out a new second with him. Mojo Rawley just comes out with Riddick Moss from NXT. And he's like, hey, and the commentators go like, oh, it's his offensive lineman, Riddick Moss. As if the crowd would be like, oh yeah, okay, cool. And then Mojo grabs the microphone and actually introduces Riddick Moss to be like, this is my offensive lineman, Riddick Moss. And if you want to challenge me for the title, he's just going to block you. Which then paid off at the end of this. I actually thought this was a really good segment.
And it's after, what is it, like 7 months of 24/7 title shenanigans, people always looking behind their shoulder, getting rolled up from out of nowhere. I'm over it. So this has come, it's come four months too late.
Yeah.
But this is a great way to change up that dynamic. We can tell a different kind of story around the division, which might make it interesting again. But yeah, Mojo Rawley defended his 24/7 title in a match because of this new setup. Destroyed No Way Jose.
Yeah.
I thought Mojo looked awesome. I really like Mojo. I'm glad he's getting, even though it's a comedy undercard spot, I think he's getting over.
It's way better than Taserface.
And R-Truth was disguised as a hamburger in the conga line, jumps in the ring, wins the belt, but Moss stops him from escaping, and Rawley wins it back.
Yeah, with a move, not a roll-up. He hits him with his move and he pins him. So I quite like this new pair.
I really like it, yeah. And, you know, Moss wasn't doing anything in NXT, so...
Yeah.
Sure.
Laurie told me that he and Mojo have had like 10 matches on main events, which Mojo's won all of. So.
He was scouting it.
So, I mean, that's what Laurie's told me anyway.
After this, we had Liv Morgan. Oh, we're at 960 likes. Come on, there's two. And there's more people watching. This might be the secrets in the thumbs up. Come on. More thumbs up. Let's get to 1,000.
We're working out the YouTube algorithm as we go.
It turns out that audience engagement helps videos. Why doesn't anyone tell you this? Next, they'll be saying, make a channel trailer. we've never had a channel trailer. Liv Morgan versus Lana came next.
Yep.
And the crowd was silent.
This storyline has fizzled out. Like, since the wedding, this angle is getting less and less over.
Mm.
Like, the most over thing in this match was Rusev, and he was nowhere to be seen. Lana comes out. Lana does get some decent heat if she asks for it.
That's it, yeah.
But, like, Liv came out to complete silence. And then this match was just complete silence. And then Liv just hits this very cool-looking flatliner for the win. But the crowd don't care.
Mm.
And it's... I mean, at least she finally got a win?
Yeah.
Shrug emoji?
But it's too late.
It's too late.
She should have won this. She should have been kicking ass from the start. But she hasn't. She's had 3 weeks of losing. Past the sort of... fulcrum. Is a fulcrum where it peaks?
Oh, excuse me, mate.
But the critical mass, right? It's like the critical mass point is well in the background now. Well in the past. So she's on the descent. And to give her a win at this point, when she's already going down like that, it's just going to... It was bad, unfortunately.
This feud has lost all modicum of steam.
And then it's that time of week again. Eric Rowan's out with his box, and he squashed a jobber called Brandon Vice. This time he didn't have any interaction with the box. We've gone back a month.
Yeah, Byron called this the perfect time for a bathroom break. And what he meant by that was that he's so scared he doesn't want to be there. But calling this match a bathroom break is a perfect description of it.
He knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
We've got 1,000 likes. So that's Raw, because the main event was Edge and Randy Orton, and that was absolutely fantastic. So we're going to do the rest of your super chats.
What did you think of the show? What was your score?
I haven't told Luke this yet. 5 out of 5.
An in-awe show.
It's rawsome now.
Oh, of course, it's rawsome. I do apologize. This is why I don't do the Raw review, because I would just get that bit wrong. But you know what? I'm in agreement with you. It was a rawsome episode.
I just, looking back at the stuff, I love the Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Buddy Murphy match. I love the Drew McIntyre stuff. I thought the women got, they got time.
Yeah.
The Charlotte Asuka was good.
Yeah, I really liked the match, just didn't like the finish.
Yeah. And that main event segment is what will live in my memory, honestly, forever.
Yeah. I thought this show, the only things I didn't like on this show were... I don't blame Liv and Lana for this. I just think the feud has lost all steam.
Yeah.
I'm bored of the Eric Rowan thing. That's not his fault. That's just they don't know where they're going with this. And I don't know what Charlotte is.
Mm.
They're the only three things I didn't really like on the show, but I thought the show was absolutely fantastic. Yes,
Raw,
indeed.
On the subject of Raw miscellaneous, Mark Scottish Psychopath Murray from 3MB to 3-2-1, unbloody believable. Drew wins WrestleMania.
Has to win at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Gotta be a win here at WrestleMania.
Your fellow countryman, I presume. How excited you must be. Abram Pena, props to Zelina Vega. She's just so good. Yeah. She's a great manager.
I've always loved the Andrade-Vega pairing. Yeah. I've really enjoyed it.
Brian Hoyt. The Becky Lynch bloody nose on Raw drove the crowd nuts too. Not sure if that counts as an angle.
Oh, we're talking about, like, when we're talking about sort of top angles. And Becky, Becky Lynch
the Survivor Series.
The
yeah.
Because he's written Becky Lunch.
Yes.
Which I do as well when I'm sometimes writing like notes or writing up scripts. I'm like, Becky Lunch. Huh. Nope. Lynch.
I would say that is, yeah, that is an all-time memorable moment. Maybe it's just because it was a moment as part of a larger storyline.
That sadly, no. I don't think the follow-up to it wasn't great because she got injured and she had to, Charlotte filled in for Survivor Series. And it sort of just got derailed a little bit. But that moment, that closing shot of her with the arms out, the blood pouring down her face, and Ronda acting in the ring, I thought was, amazing. Yeah.
Caleb Brandon, what's next for Aleister Black? Well, I said I think he's going to join Owens and Joe, especially if Joe's out, to go against Seth Rollins and Buddy Murphy, reprise that Murphy feud.
And, he was taken out of the Rumble because of Seth and his goons.
Adrian Zavala, rumour has it that Becky versus Baszler is still happening. Flair going for tag championship. It sort of undermines the Rumble, though.
Oh, but what if she just challenges the Kabuki Warriors 2-on-1 and that's her WrestleMania?
Shut up. Justin Vether again. Imagine Christian comes back as well.
I said this during the Rumble, didn't I? It's like, when Edge came out, I was like, oh my God, if Christian came out as well.
That would have been too much. But yeah, I could see Christian, the reason he retired. I can't remember why he retired.
Because Vince thinks he's ugly. But Christian did tell us in an interview, you can go find it in our podcast archives, that in 2011, they were going to do an Edge and Christian reunion. Before Edge had to, was forced into retirement, they were going to do an Edge and Christian reunion tour. So, man, I'd love that.
Valaba Mami Dipudi, who really is Byron Saxton?
It's Adam Pacitti, right?
Why is Byron Saxton? Orlando Orego, Jerry the King is only there so he doesn't go to AEW with JR.
Well, he's there because he signed with WWE.
Yeah. He's sort of a lifer. I don't think he'd go to AEW.
No.
He'll do the conventions and the crews, but I don't think he'd go on screen for them. Kay Amal, I hear voices in my head. They're telling me to eat cake. Really want to see Fat Orton now.
Fatty Orton.
Valaba Mami Dipudi again. Here's a thought. Not sometime soon, but Edge to work with Viking Raiders to really put over the whole Vikingness. They need it anyway. Well, he's a sea Viking.
But they also did get a reaction when they attacked AOP.
Yeah, being in a storyline. Shocker. Fergal McClements, fans. WWE move on. Fans. WWE move on. Fans. Edge versus Orton, best in 10 years. I see what you're saying.
So
there. It's a format that doesn't really work as a soup to be read out aloud.
Yeah.
Joshua Lieberman, Baszler goes to the Elimination Chamber and wins.
What, wins the title Elimination Chamber?
Yeah, that could work. That's actually the way to get there, I suppose.
Yeah, and then she could put over Charlotte at WrestleMania.
Yep. Myron Speed, Edge to spice up Lana's storyline. It lends itself so well to a live sex celebration. Clarification from before, Edge said wrestler instead of superstar. So when he was going through those picks. And Caleb Brandon, Dream Elimination Chamber match. I'll put Kevin Owens in there, always.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's going to be interesting because I'm assuming we're going to get The Fiend in the Elimination Chamber because...
Brock ain't working.
Brock ain't doing it. And they've already announced Brock versus Drew for WrestleMania. So, yeah, I guess it would be the SmackDown again, the Chamber match.
How does Fiend work in that environment? So I guess it would be Fiend, Brian, Kofi.
Miz, Morrison.
Braun Strowman.
Yeah.
Edge. Tyson Fury. And just do a few more before I hot tag to you. Dylan, rumour says Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania, NXT title. So,
I wonder where that rumour came from.
Well, I think it's Dave Meltzer's speculation.
Oh, okay.
And someone's reported that as a rumour. So that rumour is probably a bit strong.
Yeah,
Nico the Arms Dealer, very generous pledge there.
Thank you very much.
Hey guys, long time no see. Needed a break from wrestling. Edge's return was the moment of the night, minus the awful camera work. Yeah. They cut to the crowd when he hit his first spear. Rumble was pretty good. Nice to see it's business as usual with Charlotte.
There was
the more things change.
I saw a Dolph Ziggler tweet. Who cuts to the crowd when two wrestlers are running at each other in the ring?
Kevin Dunn does. Over to you.
On the subject of WrestleTalk, Jobber JJ says 3-2-1 Super Chat Party.
Hey, and thumbs up.
Kevin, I won't be able to attend the stream because of business. This was the best Raw in months, mainly because of Drew, Edge, and Randy.
I'll add Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, Buddy Murphy in there too, and Carrillo.
Limps says, Randy, the motherforking heel. In this mind, though, why the hell am I doing this, Vince? You're making me kill a man. Cheers, clickbait a-holes and the SWAF Nation. Lovely time with the boys.
Thank you very much. I think Randy was very into doing that violent style of angle.
Gazzatello of Rock and Roller watched Royal Rumble last night. Drew, yay, Charlotte, boo. Saw Slipknot on Saturday night.
Oh,
gig
cool.
was epic. And a guy saw my AJ Styles cap and ranted at me that WWE was S-word and real wrestling fans watch AEW. Hashtag tribalism.
Oh, my God. You've got an AJ Styles hat on. What self-respecting wrestling fan says, well, AJ Styles is crap.
Like the sort of person that would spray paint an NXT poster and be like, watch AEW on TNT.
I think that's quite funny.
Priyank says, any news on John Cena having a match at WrestleMania this year? Want to see him wrestle again? Love you guys from India.
There's been nothing about it. He's talked about not really doing much at all anymore.
Yeah.
And he's got such a stacked movie schedule now. So yeah. I don't think so.
And it's like the movie studios are going to be the one that dictate it. Because when Rock did that WrestleMania match with Cena and he got injured, that delayed like movie production for Hercules. So I don't think movie studios are going to be jumping at the bit to, you know, put Cena out in the ring where he might possibly get hurt and derail their movie. And Vang Yang said, thanks for what you guys do. Keep it up.
Oh, stop it. Thanks for tuning in.
We are adequate. Orlando says, I got my tickets for WrestleMania. I am so excited for the show now that for that Edge return. And Drew will win Brock or beat Brock for the title.
Yeah. Well, you've got to think that's going to happen. And I'm very excited for it too.
King Rasta, who claims to be Kairi Sane's current boyfriend, said, Christian's kill switch is the worst in terms of moves.
I like the kill switch.
Same here.
This looks really painful. Your head's driven into the back with the force of some guy's back and you got the arms hooked.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Umpridu in a real
world. Oh,
yeah. Baton045 said, with WrestleMania 36 being pirate-themed this year, can we name R-Truth to R-Truth? Hashtag wrestling dad jokes.
Yes. Yes is the answer. Yes. And you know what else is the answer? The freaking thumbs up button, guys. There's 2,168 of you watching right now, but only 1,100 thumbs up. Why aren't you pressing it? It's so easy. We're giving you free content. I just want the thumbs up.
But we're about to end.
Man. No, we're not going anywhere. We're not going anywhere until we get 5,000 thumbs up. Well, anyway, thank you everyone ever so much for tuning in today. I feel like I'm excited, really excited about the voyage to WrestleMania.
Do you know what, dude? We've had like, 5 weeks of like great Raw episodes.
Mm.
And I think Raw is just absolutely killing it at the moment. And it really does, like, it highlights it further when you talk to Pete and Randy, where they're just like, man, SmackDown is the same show every single week. We're like, oh, mate, you should watch Raw. It's awesome. I'm having a wicked time with Raw.
And we don't have to come in Saturdays.
It's the best, mate.
Probably shouldn't tell them that.
Loved the Royal Rumble, and I loved this episode of Raw. Mm. I'm excited, and I kind of hope that we're going to see a bit of a... Because wrestling's kind of taken a dip since October. We've noticed it in our viewing patterns. We've noticed it in, you know, the ratings patterns overall. There seems to be a lack of interest in wrestling, but I'm hoping that this sort of, like, voyage to WrestleMania is going to bring wrestling fans back into the fold.
I appreciate the voyage. That's caught on.
I also slept through alarms. My alarm went off this morning at 6 a.m. to... wake me up to go and, you know, so I can go and watch Raw. And I actually said to my wife last night, I was like, I've got a bit of a different plan today, or, you know, for Tuesday morning. I'm going to get up at 6, I'm going to do a bit of exercise, then I'll have some breakfast and a shower, then I'll head into the office and I'll watch Raw there and I'll take my notes.
What exercise did you do?
Well, here's the thing, I slept.
Oh, okay.
So I got sleep exercise.
What exercise would you have done?
Well, so there's...
Remember? Walking is not exercise.
Well, no, but you know that Joe Wicks fella?
Mm.
He's got like...
He talks like this. This is Joe Wicks.
Yeah, he sounds exactly like that. Like, I find this to be quite an annoying presence on YouTube and in other things. But I thought he does these sort of like half-hour workout things where you sort of do like high intensity. I think it's probably high intensity stuff. You like do stuff for a minute and then like rest for a minute. Is that the sort of thing?
So, yeah, HIIT training.
Yeah.
High intensity interval training.
Whatever it is, anyway. Mm. So I was going to do some of that, but instead my alarm went off at 6. My wife sort of dragged me back into bed for a bit of spooning because she was also tired.
All the minx.
And I slept in until 7:30. And so I got up, I had a shower, and I went straight to work.
Mm.
And I do think that last night was partially responsible for that.
What did you do?
Well, you and I went to the pictures.
Yeah, but we were out by 5:30.
Yeah, and then I went home, and then me and my wife, we made dinner together, and then I remembered that I hadn't done the Rumble podcast.
Oh, so I
went and did the Rumble podcast very quickly. And then we watched the Louis Theroux documentary that he did recently about escorts.
Fantastic episode.
So you watched it. I was getting curious what you thought about it.
I watched it live when it happened.
Mm.
It's become one of my lady partner. It's not that she doesn't have a sense of humor, but she rarely shows glee, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's really special, I find, when she finds something incredibly funny and she wants to keep bringing it up. Because it doesn't have, it's like, you know, 2-3 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
Probably because the baseline has been altered, because I'm constantly funny.
You're hilarious.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's just constant hilarity, and she just no-sells everything I say.
Absolutely, yeah.
But occasionally, she'll stumble upon something that really tickles her. And it is a scene from this Louis Theroux episode where he's with this lady, a more mature lady, who has owned being a escort.
She is, yeah.
She sleeps with a lot of older guys, and she loves it. She doesn't do it for the money. It's her passion. And her husband just is like, well, you do you. When he's obviously not happy at all.
Yeah. It's like the polyamorous one that he did, where there was that threesome couple where two of them were massively into it. And the other one was like, yeah, it's good. I think it's great that we're doing this. I think what we're doing is fabulous. But deep down inside, had a look of pain and was like, oh, I just wish it was the two of us, though.
Oh, no. He wished it was the three of them. Don't you remember at the end of that episode, he was like, he you know, built himself up, and then he suggested, let's have an MMF three-way.
That was it,
the
yeah.
devil's threesome.
But I think that he did that because it was like, A, I get to be involved, but also B, I just want to be with you, and I can sort of drag you away.
Maybe. Or maybe that was his kink. Anyway, this mature lady who, they go into it, had a pretty rough childhood. That's the common theme amongst people who get into escorts and prostitution.
Stop you right there, because that's the biggest criticism against this Louis Theroux documentary, and why I feel it was actually one of Louis's not good bits of work, because I thought that was a very damaging portrayal of escorts. To essentially, like you just said then, sort of lump them all together as it's like, they do it because they're damaged. Which isn't true at all.
No?
No, not at all. No, my friend put herself through university by selling her sexuality just because it was a way for her to get herself through university and make a lot of extra money off of sad men.
Yeah, but I watched Hustlers on Saturday and they also had bad childhoods.
But that was also...
The evidence is mounting, Luke Owen.
But anyway, you were
saying, anyway.
I just wanted to interrupt you there because that was my criticism I had of the episode.
Luke's correct. Everyone, or at least definitely the large majority of people who sell their bodies for sex are in totally a good place.
I didn't say the majority. I said, actually, I would say a majority.
Okay. Have you been to Amsterdam? They don't look happy. It's like that horrible scene from a food expose documentary and you see all the chickens.
Okay, I'll clarify to mean in the United Kingdom.
Anyway, we're going down a dark path here. The mature lady, she said, she goes over to Louis and, you know, she's got a... Do you know the scene I'm talking about? She's written down...
A poem.
A poem that she heard the other day and it spoke to her. And we're like, wow, okay, let's listen to this. This is quite a tender moment. And she reads the lines, and it's framed like this is this huge emotional revelation by her. Not Louis's not framing it like that. This is her big realization moment of how her childhood has spoken to her and informed these decisions. And within two lines, me and my lady partner clocked that it's the greatest showman. This is me.
Is it really?
She was quoting "This is me."
I did not pick up on that at all.
And we just pissed ourselves. it's a banger of a song.
It's a great song.
But I found it very funny that first she called it a poem.
Yeah, which is why I said it was a poem.
And that she quoted it so...
What is a song other than a poem with music?
Well, when it's out of Hugh Jackman's mouth, it is a poem as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, that she sort of delivered it so sincerely and earnestly when it was the big hit from The Greatest Showman musical.
Yeah, about a bearded lady.
And she's still laughing about it. But you do you, woman who sleeps with other men and makes her husband obviously feel bad.
Well, that was quite a tragic portion of that show. But anyway, so we watched that, and that was quite good. And then, we were just sort of...
What time are we talking now?
So this was probably about... Well, I could tell you, in fact, I know. It was 10:10 when it finished.
Oh, so and you had three only hours had 3 hours sleep.
3 hours sleep. So I got home from the Royal Rumble at 8:15, and I was up by 11:30. 3 hours later. And so running on 3 hours sleep at the moment, and you and I had quite a hectic day yesterday for two people who stayed up all night to watch the Rumble. And then Kate had just gone to go and make, I think she was just going to sort of tidy up the kitchen a little bit. I'm just sort of there flicking through channels. And what do I find on Channel 4?
Uh-oh.
But a documentary about women growing out their pubic hair, which me and my wife had thought would actually be quite a fun documentary to watch. And we're like, we'll watch this for 10 minutes. We watched the whole thing. We actually rewound so we could watch it from the start and just watch the whole thing.
And how, what would, did it have a fun title?
Yes, it was Bring Back the Bush.
That's okay. I think there's probably a better title in there.
Oh, yeah, I think.
Email in suggestions, folks. So, yeah, what was the outcome? Did someone win the longest hair?
Well, so they had sort of like these six influencers who were, they were like, hey, we've been preconditioned by sort of patriarchal society and the way that media is controlled that we have to be clean shaven because it's seen as dirty otherwise. And all of these products and magazines are sort of selling us to this image that we have to do this. So they then take it, they've been like, all of them said, yeah, I've been shaving since I was 13. And they were like, okay, well now we're gonna go 6 weeks and none of us are going to do it.
Wow.
One of them couldn't make it through the whole 6 weeks.
How far did she last?
I think she lasted till, I think like 4 or 5 weeks in. But she said, I had to shave some of it because she was a cage dancer. And she was like, she goes, I just felt like people were staring.
Sneaking around the corner.
This girl who was an influencer, she was, I guess it was some sort of modeling influencer. She got turned down for two jobs because she was growing her bush out.
Can't you just gel it to be behind the pants?
I don't know because I don't have a women's pubic line. Is that what it's called?
I don't know. I don't know where mine is. I don't know if you've ever seen any of my torso, folks.
Well,
I'm hairy.
I brought this up actually with my wife because the woman who's presenting it sets up this confessional booth, and it was one of the people who was in this confessional booth said, like, men are very hairy, and they might have like a hairy back or really hairy arms.
Drew McIntyre.
Yeah, and they might just be really hairy, but it's either seen as something that's very sexy or it's made a joke about. And I was like, and I paused and I was like, I'm gonna stop her right there because I've seen some of the comments that Ollie gets about his arms from YouTube, and they're not jokes. Those are people who are outright disgusted.
I would say that our hair, be it on the top of one's head or over the rest of the body, is the main cosmetic thing people come after us for.
100%.
So check your privilege at the door, white women. Us wrestling hosts are a maligned minority.
That's what I said. I was like, they don't know. They don't know the pain and struggle.
It's hard being a white man.
It's so difficult.
With not optimal hair. I've got too much of it on my body. I've not got enough of it on my back. My lady partner surprises me and will mutilate my back.
What do you mean?
She'll just pluck her hair out.
What?
Yeah, I know.
Man.
And she says it like, it's my fault. It's my fault for having... So I'm quite hairy, but my back is completely bald. Mm-hmm. But in the last couple of years, there'll be a massive... They're thick, dark hairs.
Yeah.
They'll just, appear sparsely on my back,
okay.
Mainly up near my neck. And my lady partner hates them, finds them grotesque. Mm-hmm. I would never make someone feel that bad for their body, for their natural body.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it hurts.
I don't imagine, an area
you'd think the back might not be as sensitive, but maybe it's just the emotional damage. But yeah, make a documentary about us, Channel 4, but that's not in your agenda right now, is it? It's the year of women. God damn it. I've only had 31 years of my life as the year of the man. I'm in my prime and you're focusing on ladies now.
And as a white man, I've had another 500 years prior to that of being on top ruling the world.
Exactly. We're not done yet.
Anyway, the documentary was broadly fine.
And you watched all of it?
We watched all of it.
It's like an hour-long documentary.
Well, okay, yeah, so like the big reveal at the end is that these six women are going to do a photo shoot, sort of showing off their newly grown bushes, these six-week grown bushes. Yeah. But of them, one of them opts not to do it entirely. She just doesn't do the photo shoot because she sort of feels a bit sort of self-conscious about it. She's not ready to reveal that yet, which, you know, which is fair enough.
And two, I bet it was massive then.
And two of them wanted to have pants on. So when they do the photo shoot, they're like, oh my God, look how amazing your bush looks. And it's like, I mean, she's just wearing pants. You can't, there's nothing there.
Well, maybe she was she wasn't wearing pants, but the pubic hair had formed in the shape of some.
Yeah. Mm. So I would say that while the message of the documentary was very good, and I thought the woman presenting it was absolutely fabulous. Like, she was really, really great. And I thought she had a very good message and a very good positivity about the whole thing. And as an overall experiment, the positives outweigh the negatives. But the actual sort of end reveal of, like, this is our art gallery was a bit crap.
Was the host, I'm just Googling it now, was it the same woman who does...
So that is her, that one sort of top left.
Oh, right, okay.
She was on presenting it.
I thought it would be this lady who does How to Look Good Naked. No, Naked Attraction.
No, it was not her.
Because she's sort of Channel 4's go-to smut show host. Yeah, and that's what this is, really.
It could have only... I mean, if it wasn't on Channel 4, it would have been on Channel 5. Mm. But, you know, it was broadly fine. But because of that, me and my wife didn't go to bed until 11:30.
Because you were furiously shaving.
Oh, my God, 11:30, Davis. And then my alarm went off at 6. That was not happening. I don't know where I got this idea was that from that I'm going to get up and do a Joe Wicks high intensity training. That was never going to happen.
You set yourself up for failure.
100%.
I hope you do it tomorrow.
What, the high intensity training?
The high intensity training. Well, you've got a day off tomorrow.
I've got half a day off, I suppose. Yeah. But so maybe, I don't know, I've got podcasts to edit and that was kind of more in my wheels. Oh, that was the other thing I did over the weekend. Who's got two thumbs and completed Spider-Man for the PS4.
Hey!
This guy.
Finally.
Oh, yeah.
A year and a half after it came out.
Oh, yeah. And I bought it day of release. And I have now finished the main storyline, but none of the side missions. So I have completed, like, 70% of the game.
That's infuriating. Yeah, I got up to about the high 80s, I think. I never like doing the last mission if there were extra missions still to go. Mm-hmm. Because the idea of completing the final boss and then going back and helping Black Cat with something. Have you done the Black Cat missions?
Well, I've done the one where you have to go and you have to look for the little toy thing.
Yes, so eventually she comes and sees you. And
is that DLC or is that an actual?
No, it was the actual game.
Oh, good.
But my, is that sexy. You know when you sort of live vicariously through the video game character?
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good scene.
That was a good one. But the game is very, very good.
It's excellent, isn't it? Yeah.
I got a little bit frustrated with it at times. Too many stealth missions, which I have not got any time for. And I felt like I was often being punished for just wanting to fight.
Because it's so much fun.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I was like, I'm just going to dive in and fight with these people. But the game would be like, I was very silly. And a bit naughty. You should spend half an hour taking out all of these snipers before just diving in and trying to punch them.
Oh, you didn't do it. You mean you want to get straight into the brawling?
Yes.
I found that, so you're talking about, you know, top of a building, the bad thugs have set up a kind of, I don't know, like some form of camp.
Perimeter.
Yeah. And I would see those as puzzles. So I'd perch somewhere and I'd be like, right, I'm going to take you out. Okay, I'm dead. Right. And then start. So I like the stealth element, which would be building up to the all-out carnage.
Yeah. But I had the same thing with Batman Arkham Asylum. Mm. I felt like I was being punished for wanting to fight people, whereas like the game was like, no, 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 hide. You want to hide and then fight people from the hideness.
No, you're Batman.
Yeah, he's hard. He's a guy who punches people.
That's not how it works with Batman.
Oh, come on.
Batman always goes in with a plan. He's not going in there saying, look at me, I'm super hard. His mates were Superman.
It was punch people.
It's not a good enough plan, Luke.
Well, you know. All I'm saying is Doom is way better a game because there's no dicking around with that game. That game is just get a gun, shoot the thing that's...
Bang, 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 bang.
And it's wicked and it's way better than any of these games. That's why I'm looking forward to Doom Eternal. But anyway, right, should we draw the show to a close?
Sure.
I think we've talked enough about pubes for a while. And
I don't think so. I think we need a round two on this.
Well, do you want to set up as an email question then?
What did I do? I the barbershop window where I nicked my own. I trim.
Do you know what? Maybe we should get some of our lady swafters to email in their thoughts on this subject. Maybe they saw the documentary and they've got some thoughts of their own.
Yeah, so, you know. Tell us about your pubic hair, folks.
Or your thoughts on men's body hair.
And how
you also think it's gross and disgusting.
Yeah. Well, I'm not a fan of my body. If I could choose not to have body hair, I would choose not to have it.
I think your front of you's all right, though.
The front of me's all right. Cheers, mate.
By extension, I meant the all of you. Anyway, right, well, thank you so much for listening. We'll get out of here.
Oh, tell us what you thought of this kind of imbalanced intro-outro as well.
Yeah.
Straight into the show, then more ramble at the end of it.
And a lot more ramble to go with. Anyway, thank you so much for listening. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.